KBOO Portland. There's something missing and I'm lit and I got something to say.
Good evening. You are listening to Trans Positive here on KBOO Community Radio. Tonight, we are really honored to have Rian with Joyful Transitions. My name is Emma, and I use she and her pronouns. And Rian, would you please introduce yourself?
Hi. Yeah, my name is Ryan, and I use they, them, and zeezier pronouns.
Great. Thanks, Ryan, for giving me the correct pronunciation of your name, like I should have asked you before the show started. Ryan, welcome to Trans Positive. And you're with an organization that you all have recently started called Joyful Transitions PDX.
Yes. So we're very new. We became an organization. I believe we filed for that in May, this month in May. We strive to provide transitional materials and necessities for trans folks that are either starting their transition, want to try new things with their transition, or are falling on hard times. And this includes, like, our budget only allows to provide for like GC2B binders, chest binders, but in the future, with funding we're hoping to be able to provide packers, packing pouches, like STPs, stantipede devices, and tucking materials.
Oh, great. Well, all stuff trans folks use and need, yeah. Definitely need. Can you tell me what were the motivations for starting Joyful Transition?
Yeah.
Or can you tell us kind of the backstory?
Yeah. So I was just paying for binders out of my own savings for people who needed them every once in a while. And I noticed that like more people were in need than I could help. And even in Portland, where we believe that we have, you know, the best, you know, trans community care you could ask for. So I was like, okay, maybe there needs to be an actual organization that handles this, and that gives out materials like this, and not just, random organizations that kind of push materials back and forth from each other, like I've seen before. And so I was just like, why not I make this an organization and get the funding that I need to help more people actually experience the same like joy that I've experienced in my transition. And and like, for example, when I started my transition, I was very, not in a great place, mentally as well as financially. And, programs like those at the Q Center and others, really helped me, to be able to afford like things like that.
Well, that's great. Let's take a step back, just because this is the radio and not everybody knows the terminology. Yes. So just for folks who are listening who maybe don't know what some of these things are, let's kind of go through them one by one. First of all, can you tell us what is a binder?
Yes, sorry. A binder is, a chest binder is a sort of like a, similar to a sports bra, but it has multiple layers of fabric on the front and it pushes down the chest so that to make it look flat. And it's for transmasculine and non-binary individuals who have dysphoria or are uncomfortable about their chest.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned a couple of other things. What is a packer?
So a packer is basically a silicone, usually silicone, it's usually a silicone, like flaccid, it looks like a penis, and it's for basically placing in your underwear to make it seem like you have a bulge. Also good for bringing about euphoric transition in transmasculine and non-binary individuals.
Thanks. And there are a couple, oh yeah, you mentioned the STPs.
Yes.
I think you did kind of explain what those were for. And then the last one is, you mentioned something for tucking, and can you explain what that is or what that would be for?
Yes, so the shapewear for tucking is underwear that helps, undergarments that help to pull back the genitalia of AMAB or assigned male birth people to give it a smoother look in the front and to make it look like they don't no longer have a bulge. And that's for trans feminine and non-binary people as well.
Great. Thank you so much.
Of course.
You did a great job of just explaining those really basic and straightforward. Thank you so much.
No
can you tell us, what are some of the costs for objects like these? Is it like just a couple of bucks, or is it expensive?
So typically binders can run from, chest binders can run from $25 to around $40 to $50. It really depends on where you go. I get mine from GC2B, which is a very popular brand, and in terms of chest binders, and those range around $35 to $40, depending on the time of the year. If it's Pride, it's usually less. If it's stuff like that. But they range, their sizes range all the way up to 6XL, which is why I like ordering from them. So they have a very wide range of sizes. And they also have a very inclusive size chart as well. And then packers and like the pouches that hold the packers, which are the ones that you kind of stick in your underwear. The pouches themselves aren't expensive. They range from like $10 to $12. And then packers themselves range from, the smallest ones can be $12 to $15. And the largest ones can be upwards of $60 to $70. It really just depends on how detailed you want them, or if you are just looking for something to make a bulge, basically.
Thanks. And so I mean, it seems like it's not too much money, but at the same time, I think that we all know that trans and especially trans and non-binary folks often have some of the highest rates of unemployment. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of they have a lot of emotional trauma that they have to deal with from, the microaggressions that happen from being misgendered or mm-hmm. intentionally misgendered, or from, you know, being made to feel like they're not really acceptable or welcome. And so there's already a lot that trans and non-binary folks have to deal with, just in navigating the world of everyday cisgender culture. So I'm sure it would make a big difference to a lot of trans and non-binary folks just to be able to get some support in, you know, getting things like chest binders and packers. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Exactly. Yeah. And especially trans youth, too, when their parents can't afford one. And for example, I had a little boy, a trans boy, who I was able to give a binder to this month, who his mom brought him over, and he was just so elated. Like, I could see a smile even behind his mask. And he was like asking all sorts of questions about binding, and but his mom couldn't afford the binders, so that's why we were so that's why they came to me. And it really is a great resource when especially if someone's trying to start their transition and they just don't know where to start. They have seen kind of online like where they should start, but they're like, I don't have any money to start, I don't have the guidance, you know. That's kind of what we're here for.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about what it means to you, or if someone else has expressed to you what it means to be able to, use articles to help, you know, really appropriately, to be appropriately gendered, or just to have that own, like, ability to see yourself in the way that you intend to see yourself. What does that mean to be able to do that as opposed to, like, not being able to do it?
Yeah, definitely. This is our mission and goal might be to give these materials to trans people that need them, but our overarching, like, values are really dedicated to helping trans people experience joy. So I feel like, personally, the narrative around transition has been so negative, not only in the public eye, but also towards each other, with certain gatekeeping and people saying that you're not really trans if you do certain things for your transition. And what I really want to do is just frame transition around this euphoric stance of acceptance of who you want to be. And so it really is like joy. It really is, that's why we're called joyful transitions. It really is joy that you experience when you are gendered correctly in public by wearing these items, or someone, even for a non-binary person, if someone like can't tell like what gender you are, sometimes that's euphoric. And so I would say that's our deep values that drives us to actually do the work that we're doing.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Last month, in May, Elliot Page, who's been out for a little while, there were a lot of shots in the press of Elliot, who had just recently had top surgery. Well, it looked like it had been a while, but and Elliot was appearing, in the press, just presenting himself as, you know, as he intends to be seen. And I just thought that was really amazing and just super positive. Is the goal of an organization like Joyful Transition to help people on the way to ultimately having like top surgery or different kinds of surgeries, or is it kind of there just to help people when they're beginning their transition, and this is not necessarily going to be about informing other parts of medical transition?
You know, it's definitely related to the person. So, so far, we've been able to help everyone individually. if we have a whole team eventually, we'll still be able to help everyone individually with our outreach services. But what we've done so far is that when anyone needs, you know, advice on, like, they want advice on top surgery, we give them that. We don't technically mention top surgery or like bottom surgery or anything like that during the process of getting a binder or anything like that, or on our website. We will have a resources page that does have a lot of resources for those surgeries, but we don't typically offer that service of kind of medical consultation, as you will.
That's cool. I just ask because I think that your organization just sounds really great. And you know, like for me, whenever I have a conversation with someone about any of the kind of like practices that we utilize as trans and non-binary folks to feel comfortable presenting ourselves the way that we choose to be presented within the community. I always make sure to include that conversation because for some people it's a difficult topic, but I mean, I think that it's ultimately, it can be very liberating to like even like to think about that as a possibility in your life, that like in addition to having these articles that like allow you to really present yourself the way that you want to present yourself, we also have an entire like process in place kind of behind it that's there to really support trans folks if they choose to medically transition as well, which, for those of us who have chosen medical transition, most people that I speak with, it's just something that they're so joyful about and really feel that kind of euphoria. So
exactly.
I think but at the same time, I also think that there's like a conversation here that can become sort of problematic because there's this sense within the mainstream culture to kind of prioritize or to normalize the idea that, of course, all trans and non-binary folks, well, especially trans folks, want medical transition. That should be their obvious logical goal that they want. But that may not really be the case. There's a lot of trans folks and a lot of non-binary folks, especially, who choose to never medically transition. I mean, that's not their goal at all. Can you talk about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. So, when you were talking about that, it made me think about how I actually recently got my top surgery in January. And I got to feel that, that joy from medical transition. And, I definitely, when people bring it up, I definitely recommend it, for themselves if they believe that that's the right route that they want to take. I think that in our current state of being for our organization, we don't currently have enough like connections and all of that to be able to provide like help figuring out medical transition, but we always try to just foster whatever brings them joy. And so especially if they're going through hard times, and we'll also be there to help branch them out to resources such as like food safety programs, if they are in college, we can help with that as well. Like we can help them get connected to their college resources, and mostly I think we are focused on like the social aspect of people's transitions, but I feel like that's kind of the first step in people's transitions is when they are branching out socially to kind of like change pronouns and change their name and try to get everyone kind of on board with it.
So it sounds like it's part of a whole set of experiences that the individual is having when they're transitioning. There's a community component. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's a medical component. There's also just like a language component, as you mentioned, with like being properly gendered. And then there's an emotional component too, which has to do with self-esteem and really feeling validated.
Yeah, exactly. And I think ours is very focused on just the social, the language, what was the other one you said?
the emotional?
Yeah, the emotional, the joy that that it brings when you're seen as who you really are. And, I fully support anyone, whether they want to transition medically or not. And we will always support them no matter which way they go. And no matter what they want to do in terms of their own transition, because it's theirs.
So since this is KBOO, and one of the things that we always do at KBOO is we make sure to incorporate language, understanding that we live in a culture that has white supremacy and that it needs to be deconstructed. Mm-hmm. And BIPOC folks and their voices need to be lifted up. So I just need to ask, as part of what I normally do as a KBOO producer, which is, do you have any sensitivity or consideration of the needs and issues of BIPOC folks specifically as part of your plan for serving the community?
Oh, of course, yeah. Originally, before we started the organization, I was giving the Google forms that I would send out for the binders were giving priority specifically to people of color that were experiencing homelessness and poverty. And it's been the same since we started the organization. So they can disclose or not disclose. It won't affect their application. But if they choose to disclose, we put them at the top of the list for that, because we know that they have less chances to get those needed materials than our white counterparts. So
great, thank you. Thanks so much. Can you tell us a little bit about your working group? What is your working group like?
My what?
Your working group, the people that work with you in this project.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. So it's just me and my partner, actually.
Great.
Yeah. So it's so far it's just. At first it was me, and then and I was like, I can do this all by myself, and then and then my fiance had to step in because we had started a Facebook page, and we had immediately gotten a ton of trolls.
I know.
And we got bombarded with trolls saying that we were pedophiles and that we were being the worst people ever, and that we were people bombarding us with hashtag straight white pride and stuff like that. So I was like, hey babe, can you please step in and moderate this with me? And he so Started with that, and then now he's kind of, I kind of roped him in for a while. So he's helped me with our t-shirt campaign that we're doing right now, and we're doing another one for Pride Month, and then and he's helped me with some of the art for it, and with, he's helping me do a photography shoot soon, and communicating with some of the clients. So he's been a real help.
Wow, that's great. Mm-hmm. So if people want to find out more about Joyful Transition PDX, where can they go to find out more about what you're doing?
Yeah, definitely. So we actually, it's really easy. We're at joyfulpdx.org. No trans, just joyfulpdx. And it's still a rough website, but we're slowly putting all the information in. But you can find most of our resources there already, and as well as information about kind of what we do and what our goals are for the future.
That's great. Ryan, is there anything that we haven't talked about today that you would like to make sure to get out there?
Yeah, I guess with just the all of the legislators, out there that are making this kind of attack on trans kids, around the country right now, we have to protect our trans youth, in any way we can through our communities, because we take care of us. So
has it ever been an issue, like in the work that you've done, like where parents have objected to trans youth that they are, you know, responsible for taking care of, objecting to them, for instance, wearing a binder, or you know, have you ever had to have that really difficult sort of conversation, like where you're, you know, you're supporting a trans youth who really needs the support that getting a binder will provide, but then their parent objects to it?
Not yet, and I'm not looking forward to the day that I do. But luckily I haven't come across any parents like that yet. But I'm just, my heart just breaks for all the kids across the country in the states that have these laws going into effect.
Yeah, there's like more than 30 states that have introduced legislation, and there's attacks on trans youth on all levels, including like trans youth participation in sports, trans youth's ability to use the appropriate bathroom or locker rooms, the teaching of, and just even making people aware of, you know, of issues related to gender theory, to gender identity, to sexual orientation, like their school districts that are trying to keep this sort of information from being included, also targeting like clubs and organizations that support trans non-binary folks, as well as LGBTQ folks in schools.
It really is a baseless attack on these children. And as an organization that it wants to be a resource for parents and for kids who are starting to transition, and to help them figure out the first steps for their social transition, like, it hurts to, like, I know that Oregon will most likely never have anything like that, but it just hurts to know that there are kids that I can't help, you know?
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Ryan. It's really been a pleasure speaking with you. And again, can you just one more time let us know that website where people can go to find out more about?
Yeah, you can find everything about Joyful Transitions at joyfulpdx.org. We are also on Facebook, Twitter. Our link tree is also on the website with all of those links as well.
So thank you so much. We've been talking today with Ryan from Joyful Transition PDX, but on the web, it's just Joyful Transition. No, it's just Joyful PDX.
Yes, joyfulpdx.org.
Great, thank you. Well, it's really been a pleasure, Ryan. Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Trans Positive.
Thank you, Emma.
Thanks, and good luck with your work.
Thank you.
Hi, good evening, and you are listening to Trans Positive here on KBOO Community Radio. Tonight we've got a really special show for you. We are very honored to have with us Dr. Gavin Shoemate and also a regular co-host Marcy Grace. We're going to be talking about options for folks who live out on the coast who are looking for care related to their gender identity. And my name is Emma. I use she and her pronouns.
And I'm Marcy Grace. I use she, her.
And I'm Dr. Gavin Shoemate. My pronouns are he, him, and his.
So a little history on Gavin and I's relationship. Gavin was my doctor when I initially started my transition. And so that's where we initially met, and things have happened, and I've grown, and now I'm trying to help support Dr. Shoemate in his practice that he's building here on the coast, which is a women's health center, but also he is specializing in HRT for the trans and gender diverse community here. So I'm going to turn it over. I want to ask Dr. Shoemate to go ahead and give us some of the things the great things that he's doing with his new practice.
Sure, thanks Marcy. And what I don't know if Marcy knows or not is that she was my first transgender patient, and I remember telling her when I met her, I'm not entirely sure what I'm doing, but I'm willing to learn if you're willing to take this trip with me. And she did. And Marcy, it's been just such an absolute joy to watch you come into your own and to see how much you're contributing to not only Newport, Toledo, the coastal area, but, you know, even into the valley and beyond, that you're just shining bright now. And I'm very excited to see it. So congratulations to you for that. And I'm thrilled to see what you're going to do next.
Well, thank you, and I have no idea. The world is open, and I just think that there's so many great things going on down here on the coast, and you're part of that. Well, we're both part of it, and I'm just so excited to be part of this with you.
Oh yeah, this is something, you know, that had you asked me about this 4 or 5 years ago, I probably would have chuckled and say, yeah, that's not going to happen. But you know, now you know, integrity is the name of our practice, and we're a specialty provider on the coast. We're located in Newport, and we've dedicated ourselves to serving the community with justice and with integrity, and to delivering high quality personalized care to every patient we encounter, and to treating every individual with dignity and respect in all aspects of their care. We do gynecology, so for people who were born with a uterus and ovaries and those parts, we care for those parts. But we also care for people who are identify as transgender or anywhere along the gender spectrum. You know, people come to us and say, hey, I want to transition completely from one gender to another. Or they say, hey, I'm non-binary, and I kind of want to be more along this side of the gender spectrum. And we honor that, you know. What I'm always telling patients is that this is your journey, and I'm just here to help facilitate that in any way that I can while keeping you medically safe and well. So that's what we do. We're also very proud to be the, as far as I know, the only medical practice on the Central Oregon coast to offer specialty health services specifically to trans and gender variant individuals. And we're committed to providing that safe and respectful, welcoming space to all members of the LGBTQIA2S+ community.
Thank you. Marcy, can you tell me, I'm really curious, like you started the show by sharing a little bit about your relationship with Dr. Shemaid and how you kind of got started. And then Dr. Shemaid had a chance to sort of comment on like where you are now. Could we go back, Marcy, can you tell us a little bit about like your initial, you know, when you first found Dr. Shemaid and when you were just beginning your transition? Could you tell us a little bit about that time for you?
Yeah. So I initially seen a therapist, and I had no idea where to go, where to start to start this process. I didn't even know where to start with hormone surgery. I had no idea. I was so lost. And I was finally recommended to Dr. Shemaid, and I have to say that his presence initially was just so calming. And I think the interaction that I had with him isn't abnormal. I think it's more of a normal thing, because I've heard many people with a lot of traumas specifically say that they were very comfortable with him and that they were glad that I had recommended him. So that is another thing, that he is also educated and very well trauma informed, especially for the trans and gender diverse community.
Thank you. Dr. Shemaid, can you tell us, why did you start offering services to transgender folks, and what are some of the issues they have to deal with working out in rural Oregon caring for trans and gender diverse folks?
Well, you know, really, Emma, I think that was one of the main reasons that I recognized this as a need in this community, is that I've lived in Newport since 2011, and I worked for the, shall we say, the major medical employer in Newport for most of that time. And we didn't have very many transgender individuals come through our clinic, and I never really thought to wonder why that was. And then I met Marcy, and that was a completely new experience to me. But seeing that, it opened my eyes to the fact that there's a real dearth of that opportunity in this community. Anybody who wants, you know, gender-based care or transition-based care has to go to Portland, or basically to Portland. And it can be a long trip from here. I mean, it's only 2 or 3 hours, but it's a 2 or 3 hour trip. And if you're doing injection training, or if you have to do shots, or if you have to do, you know, whatever it is related to transition, those trips can be several times a week. And that, you know, when you're trying to work at the same time, and God forbid you're doing it in the summertime when the traffic out here is just,
oh my God.
You know, you get
I know. I went, okay, so I went to the coast the day that it was 116.
Oh, with everybody.
We go to Lincoln City. It took us 4 hours. We didn't even make it to Lincoln City. It was crazy.
Yeah, you get behind one RV and you're toast. So, yeah, living here for 10 years, you know, I'm not quite considered a local yet, I don't think, but I've been here for 10 summers now, and it can get pretty obnoxious when all the tourists and everybody comes out here, which is great. We love the tourists, but you know, we see the ocean every day, guys.
Yes.
So working for the hospital, I would talk with them. I mean, the major medical employer here in Newport, I would talk with them about the importance that this is a need in the community that needs to be addressed. And it was never fully addressed. I asked for, you know, can we have a day or half a day where we can have a trans positive clinic? And it never happened. And then when the major medical employer and I went our separate ways, I said, you know, this is a real opportunity to do something that I'm passionate about, which is offering queer friendly and queer safe and queer welcoming space, because people who were born with a uterus and a cervix and ovaries, whether they identify with those organs or not, those organs are still at risk for cancers and for medical issues and problems and things that need to be addressed. And offering a space where somebody who, even if they don't relate to those organs, but feels safe coming and having them cared for in a compassionate, respectful manner, that's priceless here. And it doesn't exist, it didn't exist here before we said, you know what, this is important. And we stepped up and made that a reality.
Thank you. Marcy, so now you've been in transition for a long time. I mean, we've talked about some of, you know, how things have progressed for you over the years on the show. What is your relationship with Dr. Shumate like now? And
Dr. Shumate provides most of the services that you need, especially for the HRT. And as he was mentioning, he doesn't serve just the cis or trans community. It's the entire queer and trans and gender diverse community that he's helping and serving. And sometimes, especially with us in the queer community, it's very uncomfortable not just to go to a doctor, but if you have to go to a doctor for bottom care, for those cares that are personal, that maybe you've had traumas prior or you're just uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And so that's the benefit of that is just so awesome. And not to mention that it's beautiful here. We have people that drive from Corvallis. I don't know how many other patients he has and where they are from, but I do know that there are a few from Corvallis that I have sent to him and are very happy and they're pleased to make the drive here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have some in Corvallis, some coming up, I think from Yahats, from Waldport, Lincoln City. They come from, you know, pretty much all over the Central Coast, which is really exciting to me. It means a lot to me. It means that we're doing something right, you know. And that's all we want to be able to do, is just to honor the people that we care for. You know, we want to be safe. We want to be respectful. We want to be welcoming. We want to have a place where someone can come in, and even if there's nowhere else in the world that they use their chosen name, they know that when they walk through our doors, they're going to be addressed by that name, and they're going to be addressed with the pronouns that they choose. And we're not going to put anything on them. We're going to take their lead and say, you know, what is it that you're looking for? How can I help you to get there? And that's everything to me right now. And I'm just so excited to be doing this work. We've been in business here since September. We opened up actually the weekend of the fires, so that was a little stressful, but
it was good though. It was a good move. And, you know, and Dr. Shumate's and I relationship has changed. You know, it went from doctor-patient relationship to now we're friends, and now we work within the community with each other and we support one another. I'm trying to work on bringing somebody into his office to do electrolysis once a week. And we have another queer community center that is also going to be in the same building with him as well. So it's so amazing to see this being built and it growing and being part of it from the ground up. It's just, I never would have thought this is where we would be or what I would be doing 5 years ago. It's truly amazing. And I can't imagine what it's going to be like from 5 years from now.
Oh, I'm thrilled to see it. And it's great to have a colleague now like Marcy, who's doing this work. I mean, if I have a question about services or about electrolysis or about anything, I go to Marcy and say, hey, Marcy, who can I send a patient to for this? And she'll tell me. So she's become just this amazing fount of information and referrals, you know, just in this short period of time. And, you know, hopefully we'll get our electrolysis out here on the coast, because that's something that Marcy identified to me that's really missing. And I've noticed it too, because patients have to go all over the place. And again, to Portland, and electrolysis, if it's 2 or 3 times a week, I don't know how often it happens, but if it is even twice a week, that's 2 trips to Portland. That's 6 hours a day. That's 2 days. That's, you know, 2 days that you can't work or do whatever it is you need to be doing. So any opportunity to bring kind of those ancillary and yet not so ancillary services here is, you know, we're trying to do it.
We're talking for this half hour of Transpositive with Dr. Gavin Shoemate and with Marcy Grace, the regular co-host. We're talking about what is the name of your clinic, Gavin?
Our clinic is called Integrity Women's Health and Wellness, and we're actually moving as of August 2nd. Right now, we're located in the 1010 building in Newport. Which is right at the foot of the bridge on the Newport side. But we are going to be moving to a new building that we are, is under renovation, I guess, right now. It's at 324 Southwest 7th Street, which is right kind of catty corner to the post office behind State Farm, for those people who are familiar with Newport. And we're going to be co-locating with the Olala Center, which does a lot of community support with the Bravery Center, with a, what else do they, the Olala Center does so many things. But we're going to be co-locating with them and also with a speech therapist. So we're building, oh, the speech therapist. Marcy, you don't even know this yet.
No, I was like excited that you just said something about a speech therapist.
So this,
wow.
Breaking news on Transpositive.
Yes, the speech therapist, her name is Amanda Myers, and she works primarily with children, but I had a conversation with Amanda, and she is also excited about and interested in offering voice training to trans individuals, which is another thing that I think is seriously lacking out here on the coast. So we had a very interesting conversation about speech patterns and vocal training, and she's excited, and she's very willing and interested in doing it, even so far as if she needs to take extra classes or training or anything on her part to make that happen.
Awesome, new contact. I will have to get that information from you because I might have some resources for her.
Sweet, that would be awesome. So yeah, by the way, Marcy.
Yes?
more services available. But yes, we're making our big move, and we're planning to open the new building on August 2nd.
Well, that's great, thank you. So. Again, that's the Integrity Center. This is in Newport. We're talking about gender diverse care out on the Central Oregon coast with Dr. Gavin Shoemate, who provides care for trans and gender diverse folks. And Marcy, who's a regular co-host of Transpositive, lives in Toledo out on the coast, and went to see Dr. Shoemate way back when Marcy was first beginning her transition many years ago. I've just got to add, whenever I have someone on from the coast, I always ask the same stupid question. Because I just have to ask, like, I'm so jealous of anybody who lives on the coast of Oregon, because it's so beautiful and we go there all the time. And I have to ask, it's not a transgender question, but what is your favorite beach, Gavin and Marcy?
Marcy, would you like to go first?
I don't know that I have a favorite. They're all so unique and beautiful in their own way. Moolock Beach is really beautiful.
I personally
discovered agate hunting about 4 or 5 years ago, I guess now. And there's a beach I like to go to that is north of Ona Beach. You just go down to Ona Beach and you just keep walking along the coast north. And just that whole stretch of beach there is so beautiful because, well, before I said that, there weren't very many tourists there. Now I don't know what's going to happen.
We'll have to edit that out.
Yeah. Yeah. I just love agate hunting. That's like, you know, it's such a metaphor for like discovering your gender identity. I feel like agate hunting is just like a great way of saying what it's like to find your beautiful core self, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, and you know, I said something to a colleague of mine once when I was out agate hunting that has just continued to gain more and more meaning and depth the longer I live, I guess. I said to her that a rock can't polish itself.
Oh, that's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
But the more that rock bangs into other things, whether it's sediment, whether it's other big rocks, and it gets, you know, chips of itself knocked off, but really it gets polished to its most core self that is so beautiful and catches the light in so many different ways that looks nothing like it did when it started.
Well, it's just so exciting to hear that this is happening out on the Oregon coast. One of the things that we do really try to talk about on Transpositive, along with all our programming on KVU, is we really do want to make sure to address issues of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I'm wondering how, I know that we're already getting into kind of niche issues, just talking about providing gender diverse care out on the Central Oregon coast. But how do you also address issues of equity and diversity and inclusion within your practice and within serving the LGBTQIA community?
I think for us, well, in healthcare in general, I think the most important thing is access to care. You know, it breaks my heart to hear stories of how people go to healthcare providers with a concern or a need or a hurt and have that compounded because they're not honored or respected in those spaces. So for us, it's just working as hard as we can to not make those assumptions, you know, not to assume husband, wife, whatever it is, not to misname people, not to assume gender identities, and ask, what are your pronouns? What do you prefer? Even if it's an 80-year-old person who comes in and is the most gender non-informed or gender diversity non-informed person who say, well, of course my pronouns are she, her, and hers. What else would they be? But we still ask that question because in my mind, by asking that question, I've introduced the bigger question to that 80-year-old person who may have never even considered that might be a question. So if I can do even that little bit to introduce the possibility of something bigger to one person in the community and maybe watch those ripples kind of go out, maybe we'll change just a little bit of the mindset out here on the coast, because it's not Portland. We're pretty conservative out here, and yeah.
Thank you. So we've just got a couple of minutes left. Marcy and Gavin, is there anything else you'd like to share about the clinic or about what's going on with the community out there in Newport? Kind of as final comments?
Well, I don't know any specific. I've got a queer camp out and fruit float going on, but that's not anything that's being put on by any specific organization. It's just a bunch of us queer people together. We're going to be having the P Flag picnic in August 28th. And just building the queer community centers that are here and connecting the resources and just making sure that everybody is connected and well informed. It's just wonderful to see the amazing things going on here and the progressiveness within the queer and gender diverse community.
I agree. From my side of things, I see kind of more of the organizational side. Like I sit on the board of the Olala Center, and the Olala Center has a diversity, equity, and inclusion committee that meets that I'm also a part of, and I'm the board liaison to that committee. I also sit on the board of a Newport Symphony Orchestra, and the NSO has a diversity, equity, and inclusion committee on which I also happen to sit. So there's energy here, and there's a recognition that this is important and it needs to be upheld by some of the foundational organizations here on the coast to say, we see you, we honor you, and we value you, and everybody else should too. And I think that's just amazing that we can have that here. Even as we have, you know, monster trucks driving up and down 101 with Confederate flags flying off of the back of their beds. We also have a monster truck with a rainbow flag
yes.
flying back of its bed. So,
yes, that is our friend.
You know, I don't know who that is, but kudos to that person. I would have loved to meet you because...
I can introduce you.
that takes some guts.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's been a real pleasure. We've been talking tonight with Dr. Gavin Shumate from the Integrity Center that provides care for gender diverse LGBTQ trans folks, and with Marcy Grace, the regular co-host here on Transpositive. Again, if people want to find out more about your center, Doctor, where can they find it online?
They can find it online at integritywomenshealth.squarespace.com. They can also email us at info@integritywomenshealth.net. And they can call us at 541-265-4253.
Great. Thank you so much. Thanks, Marcy. Thank you, Gavin, for being on Transpositive.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. Down.
KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K2A2BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM, and on the web at kboo.fm. KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings.